Another NBA preview today, and we are talking Los Angeles Clippers with Tomer Azarli from Clutch Points, and third straight year that we've talked a little Clippers with Tomer. And Tomer, the good news is when it comes to the Clippers, nothing crazy ever happens. No drama or anything like that, right?
No, surely it's been a quiet offseason once again. Of course.
Yeah, no, I think we got to touch on that first. Obviously, we're talking about, the Kawhi Leonard situation with maybe some circumvention of the salary cap. I guess from your perspective, I'm sure you've been following it very, very closely. What are you seeing with this, and what do you expect, if anything, to kind of, come out of it?
Yeah, I think we're kind of all just in the same boat here. We're all watching, kind of things leak out slowly from investigative reporter Pablo Torre. We're all kind of just seeing how the NBA is going to handle this. It sounds like it's going to be a months-long investigation here. I think you have to remember it's just a lot going into this with the company Aspiration and their involvement with the Clippers, as well as their involvement with Kawhi Leonard and that deal they had there. The All-Star game will be at Intuit Dome this year in LA and Inglewood, so you probably don't want that hanging over having to deal with that as the All-Star game is here in LA. So I would expect this to kind of take a long time as the NBA, I think they hired a big firm that previously handled some big investigations for them in the past. So I would expect the NBA to really look into this with a lot of depth and seriousness as they kind of explore just, again, the depth of what happened here with Aspiration with Kawhi Leonard and Steve Ballmer. So I would expect this to go a few months well into the season before anything is even determined at all.
Yeah, for you, Tomer, I mean, obviously, I'm sure you were kind of around and covering and at least seeing, how it all, played out originally getting Kawhi there. And there was some talk of, Uncle Dennis asking for this and that and the other thing. And so, I mean, is there, I think anytime something like this is revealed or reported or alleged, there is some surprise. But if it was going to be anyone in the NBA, given what we knew about the Uncle Dennis situation, was this maybe the guy or the situation it would come from?
I don't know if I would go that far. I mean, but I will say this is not the first instance of an investigation or allegations being made regarding Kawhi Leonard and potentially improper funds or things that are being given. I know back when Kawhi was with the Raptors, the Clippers were tampering fines for what they were doing with Kawhi. And then after that, Jerry West was in a lawsuit that that they helped get Kawhi here by getting him this and that. So it's not the first time we've heard of this. I'm sure it's one of those situations where it feels like, again, allegedly, it feels like where there's smoke, there's fire. And there's been a lot of smoke around this for a couple of years now. So it's kind of, I'm kind of curious to see what ends up happening with this. I think the Clippers obviously can't afford to have anything happen to them given their current roster situation with, no draft picks. They're finally just finishing the Shea Gilgeous-Alexander trade here where they're going to get their draft picks back. They're going to get control of their draft back very soon. Worst case scenario, they have to lose more draft picks. That could severely impact their future. And so, I think the Clippers are kind of just hopeful that this is looked into. I know that, Steve Ballmer has said that they welcome the NBA investigation and they're hopeful to find everything that will kind of clear them of wrongdoing. So we'll kind of see what happens here. Again, this should be a very, very long process. Don't expect anything in the near future. And we'll kind of just see where we go from there.
Yeah. Around Kawhi Leonard, and around James Harden, who signed a 2-year, $81.5 million extension this off season. It is kind of a different looking group. Bradley Beal signs, John Collins acquired via trade. You got Brooke Lopez, right. Chris Paul coming in. So, what are your thoughts on kind of, how this all kind of fits together? And we probably also had to pay some mind to, the fact that they are kind of trying to maneuver themselves to a point where they are big players in that huge free agency period in a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at what the Clippers had to work with coming into this offseason, it was like the biannual, the mid-level exception of 14.9 million, I believe. That's really, for the most part, all they had. And I think they were able to get Brooke Lopez with that. And they were able to sign Bradley Beal with the remainder of that. Now, no one knew Bradley Beal would be available via buyout. I think there were some, maybe hints and indications that he might be available, but no one knew that he would for sure, reach a buyout agreement with the Suns. And so shortly after the Clippers traded Norman Powell, there was clearly a position of need there. So to be able to get Bradley Beal, able to get a really, really solid big man. I mean, Brook Lopez is still a starter in this league. He's capable of performing at a starter level. And so to get him as your backup big man behind the Vita Zubac, I think it's fantastic. It's also a guy that I think James will probably enjoy playing with a lot, giving him a floor spacing five so he can kind of attack the paint. And the same goes for the other guys who, want to get downhill and attack the paint and create for others. So John Collins, I think, is the guy who we've kind of forgotten about because he was in Utah, a place that, hasn't really been playing competitive basketball for the last couple of years. But he's a solid guy. I think he's a couple of years removed from shooting 39, 40% from three. With the Hawks, I think he had a couple of good seasons with the Jazz, if you paid attention to him. And he's a guy who, again, the Clippers have needed athleticism, they've needed some youth, and he's basically a plug and play type of guy for them at that position, whether it's the five, the four. He can do multiple things. He can shoot the ball, he can defend fairly well. So I expect this to be a really good looking Clippers team. With or without Kawhi, I expect Kawhi to start the season and be available. But the depth of this team, it's really hard to say or find teams that have 11 guys, 10, 11 guys that you can say are very, very playable. You had a guard in Chris Paul who we still know is very, very capable of delivering, especially in a backup role. We saw last year with the Spurs, he had a really good season. He's going to be playing behind guys like Chris Dunn, who is an all world defender. Same with Derrick Jones. Like, there's a lot of guys on this team who are capable of producing at a high level and doing the little thing. We haven't talked about Nico Batum yet, who we know when they call his number, he's ready to do any and everything for them, whether it's playing the five, playing the three, whatever you ask. So this Clippers team is really, really deep. I think there's going to be a bit of an adjustment process because you had a guy like Bradley Beal, who is in a brand new role coming off a couple of bad years in Phoenix. John Collins, again, has been not been playing winning basketball. He's probably going to have to get rid of some bad habits, get used to playing some winning basketball here. So there's going to be an adjustment period, but this is a very, very talented Clippers team and with a very high ceiling. So very looking forward to seeing this get started next week.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on, every time they seem to be adding, when they added somebody, it's like, oh, that's, you know what, that looks pretty good. Then you put it all together. And that just might work. Tamir Azarli again from Clutch Points talking LA Clippers, our latest NBA preview. Now, Tamir, I guess let's just consider, Kawhi Leonard plays and, plays the season. And when you look at this, Clippers, of course, trying to get over that hump, trying to get to a conference championship. And I guess what it looks like a really good regular season team with the depth in mind. When it comes to getting over that hump, though, what are some things you think need to happen? And also, we have to understand the fact that it just hasn't happened for, James Harden when they need him in a big game. And I know that's maybe overstated from time to time, but it just seems to happen a little more than you would like it to.
I mean, look, the Clippers season usually comes down to a couple things. I mean, one, health. We know that. We've seen the history behind that. They have to stay healthy, especially when it matters most. Last year, we got to see that once Kawhi came back, and I think they were winning at a 60% season clip last season. Once Kawhi came back, they had a very, very high winning percentage, and that's with Norman Powell still kind of figuring out his role last year. So stay healthy is one. Two, yeah, the disappearing acts, for lack of a better way to say it, we just can't see those from guys like James Harden. I think he needs to be a guy who's present and much more involved, much more active. But I think the Clippers also constructed their roster in a way that James doesn't have to do that as much. I think last year, especially in the playoffs, Zoo, we saw to take a big step forward. Kawhi was Kawhi, but James was in that kind of that third star, third scorer role, especially when the guy like Norman Powell was still not 100%, not didn't fit in with that unit yet. And so I think this year you add so many pieces that James doesn't have to do that as much. I mean, obviously he still should be that all-star caliber guy, but you've kind of been able to protect yourself in case he does have a bad game or two, where you have a Bradley Beal out there to score. You have a guy like Kawhi, a Zoo, Chris Paul to facilitate if you need some help. So John Collins, again, can be a big numbers guy as well. I think, making sure that you kind of clean up those disappearing acts. And then I will say, and I think people don't really, like this as maybe it's an excuse, but I think matchups in the playoffs matter significantly. I mean, the Clippers probably got the toughest first round matchup of any team last year in the Denver Nuggets, and outside of the Thunder probably, but that was a 1-8 seed. The Nuggets were a really, really good team. The Clippers took them to seven. I mean, you can even make a case they should have been up 3-1 before that Aaron Gordon putback dunk. I think they were also up one with 30 seconds to go and the ball in game one. So The opportunities were there. They just weren't able to close them out. And they took that Nuggets team to seven. That Nuggets team took the champion Thunder to seven. So it really just comes down to matchups. I know people don't really like that a lot, but it comes down to matchups. You have to get a right matchup, and you have to get a matchup that kind of helps you out in some ways. I think the Nuggets, again, Nikola Jokic is an all-world talent, absolutely unstoppable. And you saw that last year. And so I think matchups do matter a little bit. So you want to get maybe a favorable one, and that comes with getting a higher seed, getting home court advantage, things like that. I think will obviously help. So I would say health, yeah, the depth kind of cutting the disappearing acts, and then I think the matchups as well really matter for the Clippers.
Yep, no doubt. Okay, before I let you go, Tomer, I guess, is that kind of what defines a successful season for the Clippers is them making that run, getting over that hump to that conference championship game, or does it need to go a step further than that, you think?
Oh, I mean, at this point, anything short of a finals appearance, I think, would be a disappointment. They've had back-to-back 50-win seasons without going past the first round. They've had, what is it, I think 14 straight winning seasons now, if I'm not mistaken, without reaching the finals. They're in year seven with Kawhi Leonard here since they kind of gutted their entire roster and future, or team and future for him back in 2019. So. As they kind of look to transition towards 2027 and that free agency period and what they could kind of what new stars are available then, they've still put themselves in a very good position where they can maximize their now and be able to still compete at a high level. I think they're not really far away from the championship, if you ask me. I think it really comes down to the little things like the health, like the matchups. I think those matter a lot. Obviously, the disappearing acts we discussed as well, but this Clippers team, anything short of a finals run, I think would be considered a disappointment because they have so much talent and they've been winning during the regular season for so long. Again, back-to-back 50-win seasons with nothing short of a, nothing more than a first-round exit is just disappointing for them. So I would say a finals appearance, definitely a championship would be great, but I think a finals appearance is necessary to kind of, take a more positive look at the last couple of seasons, I would say.
All right. Tamara Zarley again from Clutch Points, talking LA Clippers with us again. Tamara, always great talking with you. Every NBA preseason, we thank you for the time and enjoy the season, all right?
Thank you. Appreciate you having me. Thank you. Have a good one.